This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize and David Jenkins.
Tobinat, thank you very much. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, and Tournament Week on WSMI and WAOX is officially underway beginning at 2:30 this afternoon, as we will have live coverage from the Litchfield Invitational Tournament beginning at 2:30, and then live coverage from the Macoupin County Tournament in Gillespie beginning at 6 o'clock, and then all next week on 105.3 The Ox and here on FM 106, we will have coverage from the Invitational at Litchfield and the Macoupin County Tournament. And David, this is always a great week of high school basketball.
Oh, it's so fun because you also got the Highland Tournament for the girls going on down in Highland and at Hillsboro, and I think Nokomis also participates in that one. And then you've got North Green where Litchfield is over there for the girls, so it's great, great January tournaments going on just around the area.
Absolutely. And for the girls, regionals are right around the corner. Of course, boys still trying to, few more weeks to find that groove.
We should find out the seedings here pretty soon for the regionals, I would think. I mean, it's getting to that time of year where the seedings are going to be announced. So I think it's got to be soon.
It's coming up. Yep. It'll be here, David. Calm down. Patience.
Yeah. End of January is not yet, so.
So our broadcast schedule today, Litchfield and Lebanon will be live at 2:30 on FM 106. And then at 6 o'clock from the Macoupin County Tournament, it'll be Staunton and Bunker Hill in boys' pool play. At 7:30, it'll be top-seeded Southwestern taking on North Mac. Following that, we will go back to Litchfield and have the broadcast of Hillsboro and CM. All the games today right here on FM 106. And all the action, of course, will stream online at WSMIRadio.com. In tournament play last night, the Mohawk Classic has been completed, and once again, the Skins won.
Yeah.
It's their tournament.
No surprise.
Tournament. Yeah. They defeated South Fork last night 40-19 to claim the championship. Lincolnwood defeated Morrisonville 57-47, so the Lancers finished in second place. And on Spotlight on Sports, I had Marcus Chaussee with a career-high 38 points in a 40-point Nokomis offensive output, but I had the line score from Nokomis' game on Tuesday.
Yeah, that was the wrong game. Did score 38 points in the tournament.
Right. Did have the career high. Yeah. That was on Tuesday when they scored 71.
Exactly.
Right. So. It's like, wait, they scored 40 and Chaussee got 38? That can't be right.
I mean, that's
got to be a misprint.
That's a one-man game right there.
That would have been dominating.
Yeah.
Although the 6'6 Marcus Chaussee really coming into his own here in his senior year. He has been flat-out dominating for Nokomis, really – probably all year, but certainly the last couple of weeks.
And that's why Tuesday evening's game between Nokomis and Civic Memorial will be a very good game, where we've got the 6'6 Marcus Chaussee going up against 6'8 Jacob Lawrence.
Never bet against Nokomis.
No.
Never. Not in the Mohawk Classic, not in the Litchfield Invitational, certainly not in postseason play. The Skins, once again, finding their peak form at the right time of the year. The Sangamon County Tournament is underway. They will be wrapping up today. The seventh-place game yesterday saw New Berlin defeat Tri-City 52-46. The Consolation Championship saw Riverton over Pawnee 52-46. In the third-place game, it was Pleasant Plains over Williamsville 63-52. And in the Sangamon County Championship game tonight, it'll be Rochester taking on Auburn. That will be a 7 o'clock tip.
I think Auburn upset Williamsville. I think that was considered an upset because Williamsville, I think, was considered the better team going in.
That's always a very good county tournament.
Yeah.
At the Winchester tournament yesterday, Calhoun over North Green, 71-62. Carrollton over Griggsville Perry, 60-51. And at the Hancock County tournament, West Hancock over Minden Unity, 48-44. And Illini West over Southeastern, 54-40. The Macoupin County tournament, the 97th. Annual Boys Macoupin County Tournament tips off today.
3 years
second
to 100.
Oldest in the state.
Yeah. 3 years to 100.
That's right.
Yeah. I can do math.
You can?
I did pretty well in school in math.
And, of course, the great thing about the county this year, being hosted by Gillespie at the Pit, was there last night for the Litchfield-Gillespie game, which was controlled by the Miners from the opening tap. They led the whole way, 71-46. Gillespie winds up winning it. But, I mean, it was a packed house last night in the Pit. Just great to be back in that gymnasium. It's such a fantastic atmosphere in there.
Well, I love what the what Gillespie's done with the coal miner crazies, coal mine crazies. So, becoming a great student section.
Yeah, and they were in the north end, like up on the second, like the second level there of the bleachers, right behind the backboard. Very good atmosphere.
They travel well, too.
They do. So I expect a very good atmosphere all week long at the Macoupin County Tournament inside the Pit.
Yeah, should be great.
That's right. In other action last night in the South Central Conference, Greenville defeated Vandalia 73-46. Of course, earlier in the week, Greenville went down to Nashville, the top-ranked mm-hmm. team in 2A, and I believe it was only a 5 or 6 point ball
game. It was
a
close game. I think it was within 3 with under a minute left, so it was a good game.
Of course, Greenville, the top seed at the Litchfield Invitational. They will not be in action today. Or they will be in action today at 5:30, taking on Pena in the Litchfield Invitational. Other games last night, Roxana over Staunton 70-41. Bunker Hill defeated Lebanon 60-47. And Franklin held off Mount Olive 58-42. We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to talk to Casey Schultes. He's the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. They will be hosting the county tournament this week. We'll talk to Casey Schultes following these messages.
And at 9:12, Sports Saturday continues. Right now, here's Tim Mize and David Jenkins.
Tobinat, thank you very much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, live coverage from the Litchfield Invitational Tournament at 2:30 this afternoon. Live coverage from the Macoupin County Tournament at 6 o'clock tonight. Two live games from the county at 6. It'll be Staunton and Bunker Hill at 7:30. It'll be top-seeded Southwestern taking on North Mac. The action live on FM 106 tonight from the Macoupin County Tournament. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Gillespie Miners, Casey Schultes. Gillespie, of course, is the 2 seed in this year's county tournament. They will be playing host at the Pit. Casey, good morning, sir. How are you?
Great. Good morning.
Well, let's talk before we get into the county tournament, which will tip off in about 2 hours or 2.5 hours over at Gillespie. Let's talk about your win last night over Litchfield, a rematch of the championship game at the Carlinville Holiday Tournament back on the 30th of December. And Casey, you guys were good that night in Carlinville. You were better, I thought, last night. You never trailed in the ball game. Impressive wire-to-wire victory.
Well, last night was quite possibly our best performance of the season. We were able to start fast and get on top early, and that was a lot of fun. I really thought Jacob Leeper kind of came out and set a nice tone for us, being real physical on the defensive end and rebounding, and Eli Fox just going right after the Simmons kid from the get-go. I thought really helped to set a nice tone last night.
And Casey, your team is on quite the roll. You got off to a bit of a slow start at the beginning of the season, but now it's almost like you're unstoppable.
Yeah, we've really picked up some nice momentum coming out of the Carlinville tournament, and then a couple nice conference wins here at home. Really feel good about where we're at right now, and hope to continue to move forward and build.
Casey, you mentioned the efforts of Aleeper and Fox last night, and when you get effort like that, it's a lot easier to hold on to the lead, because you know when you get a big lead early, you know a team is going to make a run at you, but when you keep up your intensity like you did, it's hard to chip away.
It was a nice sustained effort. So we got the nice lead in the first quarter, and were able to maintain that intensity pretty much throughout the rest of the game. I thought we had a tremendous performance, up and down the roster. Both Price boys are in double figures again, and then and Alipra and Zenner both double figures last night. I'm just very, very excited about how we played.
In case you said you thought maybe it was your best effort last night, which is really impressive considering it was just your second game since the holiday tournament. You guys had a 2-week break. Talk a little bit about the approach that you took with your team following a championship and then 2 weeks off.
Well, coming right out of the holidays and then playing 4 games in 5 days there, we took a couple days off and just tried to let the kids rest up a little bit and enjoy their Christmas vacation somewhat. And then, get back after it and get into somewhat of a routine. Little scrimmaging, and then just trying to get through into our regular 2 and 3 day prep cycles for these last 2-3 games.
Because I said it last night of the game, I don't know that you guys have a quote-unquote forward, like Zenner and Aleeper kind of handle the post play for you, but then you just have a stable of guards that just continues to come at you.
Evan and Nick can both kind of play a little forward, but are more naturally guards. And then Colin Thiemann does a super job on defense and distributing. And he can score a little bit, too. We don't really call on him to do that, but he has that ability. Eli Fox is all around. Possibly, I think he's one of the better defensive players in the conference. We can put him on anybody. He does a great job and runs the point. He can also score when called upon. And we bring Tate Wargo in off the bench for some more defensive intensity, and he's coming along offensively. scores a ton at the JV level right now, and I think he's going to be a scorer at the varsity level too. Just just a matter of getting him a little bit more experience and comfortable in the situation.
Well, Casey, let's talk about the Macoupin County Tournament, the 97th edition of the boys' tournament. And there's just something about this tournament for people in Macoupin County. It's so special. And when you get to host it, boy, is that a great opportunity to have a very special week.
Oh, the Macoupin County Tournament's got so much tradition, and we feel very fortunate to get to host that here in our place this year. Hoping to, obviously get a chance to compete for the championship next Saturday night. But we've got some tough games between now and then. Start with Mount Olive tonight, and then I think Bunker Hill's a much, much tougher test than what they showed over in Carlinville. I think they've got some strong athletes, and that'll be a challenge. And then Staunton, of course, Friday night. So we've got our road laid out before us, but we're hoping to continue to play like the way we have been and hopefully be in our gym Saturday night with a chance to win the county.
Casey, it seems like you've got a pretty mature group of kids, so you will have, I guess, quite a few distractions this week considering you're hosting the tournament, kind of everyone expecting you to be in the championship game. But as you said, you've got to win 3 ball games to get there.
Absolutely. But as you just said, our kids are they're pretty mature, and their basketball is very important to them from the way they approach practice to how they conduct themselves in the off season, and just the dedication they've shown. They're not going to let some distractions take away from what is one of their major goals, which is to win the county tournament. So I expect them to be very focused and driven here this week.
Of course, I along with pretty much, I would imagine, everybody in Macoupin County looking forward to the tournament this year because the Pit is back, and that is just good to see.
Oh, it's a special place. We love that gym. We missed being in there last year just from a home field standpoint. We love getting in there and practicing. It's kind of a focal point here in the community, and to be back in there and able to host county and go forward from that, it's a pretty big deal.
It's a great place. It's going to be a great week, and we know that Gillespie will do a fantastic job hosting. Casey, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, and we will see you this week, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Casey Schultes, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. Gillespie now 10-5 on the year. They're 4-1 in the South Central Conference. Of course, the Greenville Comets, David, undefeated in the league, but then you've got Gillespie entering last night, Gillespie, Litchfield, Pena, Southwestern, all with one conference loss.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a very, very good conference, and, of course, Southwestern being one of the top teams in the conference, and Greenville ranked, I believe, tied for 10th in the state, so...
Right.
Very
and, you know, Central. Usually when you're tied for 10th in the state and you lose a game in the week, you're going to fall out. But when that loss is on the road at the number one ranked team and it's like by single digits,
yeah,
you should probably move up.
They may end up moving up this week.
That's right.
So
let's check the Macoupin County schedule for today at Gillespie. At 4:30, you will see Gillespie take on Mount Olive. Miners the 2 seed, Mount Olive the 7 seed. Then at 6 o'clock, our live coverage will begin with 3rd-seeded Staunton taking on 6-seeded Bunker Hill. Then at 7:30, we will have live coverage of Southwestern, the top seed, taking on 5th-seeded North Mac. Those are boys' pool play games today at the Macoupin County Tournament. Now, the girls' pool play will actually get the county started today. It will get underway at noon with 2nd-seeded Carlinville taking on 7th-seeded North Mac. At 1:30, 3rd-seeded Mount Olive will take on 6th-seeded Staunton. And then at 3 o'clock, top-seeded Southwestern will take on the host and 5th-seed Gillespie Miners. That will be a 3 o'clock tip for the girls' pool play. As far as the Litchfield Invitational Tournament schedule for today, all the games will be played in Simmons today, beginning at 2:30. Litchfield will take on Lebanon. Litchfield is the 4 seed. Lebanon is the 12 seed. That is a 2:30 tip live here on FM 106. At 4 o'clock, 10-seed East Alton Wood River will take on the 2nd-seeded Taylorville Tornadoes. Of course, Taylorville's first year in the tournament. That is a very exciting addition.
Yes, it
for
is.
The Litchfield Invitational.
Yes, it is.
At 5:30, you will see top-seeded Greenville take on 9th-ranked Pena. And then at 7 o'clock in the nightcap, a game you'll hear at 9 o'clock on FM 106, 6th-seeded Hillsborough minus Dylan Miller will take on 3rd-seeded Civic Memorial.
Yeah, that's going to be a... quite the matchup. Definitely different than what we had hoped as the media going in, because we were hoping to see that Jacob Lawrence-Dylan Miller matchup, but
not just the media, basketball fans.
Yeah,
around
basketball
the air,
fans around the
area. That
That's true. But should be another good, like I said earlier, another good post-player matchup in that pool as well on Tuesday with Marcus Chaucy going up against Lawrence. Lawrence's MVP last year with the defending champion Civic Memorial Eagles, so he'll probably have a target on his back in this tournament.
Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, Drew Logan. Good morning, Drew. Thank you for a few minutes of your time.
Good morning, guys.
Let's start off talking about this Litchfield Invitational Tournament, and David and I were just talking. Hillsborough CM, not quite the same matchup without Dylan Miller as everyone anticipated when the seedings came out.
Yeah, when all the seedings came down, we finally, Jason Cooper got everything put together from the coaches voting, we looked at it and thought, man, that is going to be one heck of a matchup, and I still think it'll be a good matchup, but obviously, from a big man standpoint, CM's going to have the advantage there.
Of course, one of the big changes to this year's tournament, Taylorville is in. Talk a little bit, Drew, about the addition of Taylorville and what that means to kind of the overall health of the tournament.
Well, and Taylorville, I think, has been on a waiting list for a couple years, and obviously with Columbia getting out, it gave them the opportunity to get in, and it just beefs up a tournament that's already one of the best tournaments in the area, and Taylorville is kind of an unknown for some of these teams because they're so far out of the area. But if you follow their scores and follow their schedule, they have played some tough competition and have beat some really good teams this year.
Of course, it's not surprising for there to be a state-ranked team in the Litchfield Invitational. It's always a strong field year after year. But this year, Greenville, the top seed in the tournament, they are ranked in 2A, coming off of a good road loss at Nashville earlier in the week. So the Greenville Comets, a very strong one seed this year at the tourney.
Yeah, and Nashville has been, we played them when I was in high school in super sectionals 2 years in a row, and they've been good since Darren Lee was there. And that was kind of a test. I'm sure Coach Cantrell said the same thing. That was a good test for them. And then I think they blew it by maybe six or something. And it was a one or two possession game late. And, Greenville, we knew they were going to be good. They came in to the tournament, I think, with one loss at that point, and neither one of the losses are really anything to shake their head at. So they're going to be a tough out for sure as we move along next week.
And Drew, let's turn our attention to Pool D, where your team is at. You'll be playing Lebanon this afternoon, and then Mount Zion on Tuesday evening. A couple of teams you don't get to play very often. What do you know about both Lebanon and Mount Zion?
Yeah, and that's one of the things I really like about our tournament is there's a good mix of teams that we're familiar with and obviously teams that we're, I wouldn't say unfamiliar with, but are just kind of out of our area. I know Mount Zion had a huge win. I think they beat Charleston by around 30 last night. They've been kind of struggling a little bit, but it's probably based on their competition more than anything. Lebanon's one of the smaller schools we have here, but they play a lot of solid competition. They have a Thanksgiving tournament early in the season where, they have they used to have Southwestern used to be in it, but they play some solid competition. I know they've struggled so far this year, but we played them I think in the last game, ninth place game that we were in last year, and they jumped out on us. I don't remember what it was, maybe 9-2 or something early in the game. So we're expecting a good battle there, and we know Mount Zion is going to be, they're ranking at 5. I don't know if it's based off of record. But I think they could definitely be better than a 5 seed.
So you mentioned the rankings. The coaches rank this tournament, but talk about how difficult it is. I mean, you're a coach. When you get such a big, expansive field, how tricky is it to try to rank these teams? Because, let's be honest, you're focused on your team throughout the year. How hard is it to see these other clubs?
Well, and we, we obviously put together all the schedules and results of each team. Everybody, all the coaches send in information, and you're trying to compare scores. Records to me are so deceiving because you look at, and I always use Nokomis. You look at Nokomis every year they come in, and the record's not maybe where they want it to be, and then they end up in the title game. It's really difficult to see, and it's very evident with the seeding sheet that we compiled and sent to all the coaches because, some of the teams were very consistent being at certain things. I think we got ranked anywhere from 2 to 7. So, it's so difficult. And if you're not familiar with some of the teams, it makes it even that much more difficult to seed. But I think ultimately when it really boils down to it, you know, if you want to play on Championship Saturday, you got to win on the court. So seedings, you know, kind of go out the window after pool play.
And I could be wrong, Drew, but I can't imagine there's too many tournaments in the state that have 1A, 2A, and 3A schools in the same field.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, the 1A teams are not outmatched.
Right.
You know, that's a lot of times you'll see small schools that are in tournaments and they tend to struggle. But in our tournament, you know, the small school teams do just as well as some of the big teams. You know, the first year I was here, Lebanon was playing, you know, towards the end of the tournament, playing in some of the bigger games. So, you know, it's very, very competitive. It's nice to see a lot of the different teams that we see, you know, and you get a chance to see some teams that, you know, I don't see CM other than in our tournament, to be perfectly honest. So, same thing with Mount Zion and Taylorville. I probably will not see them play another game except for the ones on our court this week.
Four games scheduled today at the Litchfield Invitational. All the games today will be played in Simmons. And then beginning on Monday, Drew, you guys will be using both gymnasiums?
Yeah, we will. Well, actually, Monday it looks like we are. I'm looking at the schedule right now. Monday we are still all in Simmons.
Oh, yeah, holiday.
Don't have school. So we will start at 2:30 just like today. And then starting on Tuesday, we will be using both gyms.
Sounds good. Forgot about MLK Day. I'm not in school anymore, so these holidays where you get off school, they don't register with me anymore. Drew, let's talk about your game.
We're basically having two Saturdays.
So. Let's talk about your game last night for a brief moment. The old saying goes, Mama said there was going to be nights like that, and that was just kind of one of those nights, Drew, where basically from the opening tap, you could just kind of tell it wasn't going to go your way.
Yeah, and you know, and I walked in at halftime. I told the kids, I said, I don't really recognize the team that just played because we had two really good focus days of practice. We had really worked on some things from the offensive end to try to, you know, to keep them from pushing us out on the perimeter to run our offense. And then, you know, basically at the 4-minute mark of the first quarter, I said, you know, guys, everything we worked on, they're still doing it to us. So, you know, obviously Gillespie is playing really, really well. And every time I see them, they seem to be getting better. And there's some close relationships I know between our players and those guys. So I think that feeds into that fire a little bit. And we just we did not come out well after the first quarter. I felt like we played fine with them. But you know, when you dig a 19-2 hole, you know, I told them at halftime I don't expect to get back in the game, but I do expect to make some progress to chip away at the lead.
Are you glad that you play the next day after a performance like last night, that you play the next day and early on the next day?
Yeah, ironically, that was the first thing that I said in the locker room. I said, you know, this would be really hard to swallow if we didn't play till Tuesday. And I said, but now you got, you know, the good thing about tomorrow is you get an opportunity early in the afternoon to get this taste out of your mouth. You know, because if you can ride the bus home after that game and feel good about much, that's a problem. So, you know, and like I said, it's Gillespie is, they are by far one of the most improved teams I've seen, and Coach Schultes and Coach Braun are doing a nice job, and it takes nothing away from them. But man, they really took us out of a lot of things that we had really worked on for 2 days, and it was kind of disappointing to not see it, you know, show up on the court.
You mentioned the defensive pressure that Gillespie applies. They certainly did it last night. From a coaching perspective, when you see a team applying pressure like that to you, I guess, what's the best way to counteract something like that?
Well, aggressiveness is the first thing, and obviously we were not really being aggressive, but, you know, we talk about it a lot with teams that pressure and trap. I mean, we see, obviously, Nokomis does, Greenville will. You know, that's not a bad thing. You know, that pressure tends to open up penetration lanes. It opens up, you know, driving kickouts. But when you're, you know, we talk a lot about our point guard not running the offenses from the center of the court, because then you're throwing 20, 25-foot passes. We never shortened our passes down. We didn't really set good screens, didn't make hard cuts. You know, things that we've really tried to work on, honestly, since the Southwestern game, which was December 9th or something. You know, and again, it was more about them pressuring us and us kind of backing away from that pressure, which I'd felt like, you know, we kind of turned the corner with that at Hillsborough a little bit, where we played a little bit more physical and kind of met the challenge. And then, you know, it just kind of, you know, as I've said before, they're teenagers. So as soon as I think they haven't figured out, they don't.
That's exactly the life of a high school basketball coach, right, Drew?
I think it's the life of any coach, because I'm watching the Cavaliers last night when I get home, and they look like, you know, they played really well last night. I watched them earlier in the week, and they look terrible. So I don't think it matters the age level at this point.
Well, Drew, we always appreciate when you give us minutes here on Sports Saturday. The Litchfield Invitational tips off today. You will be on the floor at 2:30 live here on FM 106. Best of luck in the tournament, and we'll see you down the road, sir.
All right, thanks, guys.
Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And I wonder if LeBron's missing Miami yet, you know? Probably about 10 degrees in Cleveland. They're under 500 or right at it.
Yeah, but Miami's also under 500.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be if he was there.
No, but, I mean, he said whenever he signed that he knew they weren't going to be, you know, a championship contending team right off the bat.
Said it. Did he actually believe it?
I think so.
Or was he just going the opposite of not two, not three, not four?
I think he knew that this was going to be a work in progress. So
they wouldn't have had Bosh either if LeBron would have signed.
No, that's right. They wouldn't, because
Bosh would have signed with Houston.
They would have lost.
Perhaps.
They would have lost one of the big three probably. It would have still been the big two. It still is down in Miami because Wade and Bosh are both there. But yeah,
let's see. He left Miami for 4 years. That was college. He's got 2 years with Cleveland. If he leaves, then so what is that?
Graduate school.
Graduate school. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
A job promotion. He yeah. comes back. That's high school reunion.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I thought about this morning. What would the team have been like had they not traded Andrew Wiggins? And you had LeBron and
how
Wiggins
playing in
the same
in Minnesota?
Team.
That should be your answer.
I don't know,
because I haven't really heard that Love is really setting the world on fire. So
I don't really follow the NBA too much, but I'll tell you this: this year to me just shows how great LeBron actually is. Proves his greatness to me more than any time before.
Yeah,
they're a 500 team.
Yeah,
that's how good he is. Because without him, they were like a 5-win team for the 4 years he was gone.
Yep.
So that's how good he is.
Well, this year,
and he's hurt.
You know, honestly, this year proves, if you didn't know it before, this year proves that there are way too many teams in the NBA. Because, like, there are probably, what, 6 teams that are above 500?
Mm-hmm.
It's just bad.
You can make the argument that every professional sports league has too many teams, really.
Mm. Yeah, but, I mean, some of the other leagues, like the NFL, and well, I don't know about the NFL, but Major League Baseball in particular, the parity is great. Because one team could be terrible 1 year, and then the next year, you know, sure. They're in the playoffs.
I think there's still too many teams in the MLB.
Yeah.
Who would you get rid of?
I don't know that I would get rid of any. I would relocate a couple out of Florida.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Go ahead, say it.
Yeah, I would just lop out the Rays and the Marlins, but that's not going
to
happen.
I would move the Rays to somewhere else.
Montreal.
I don't know if I'd move them to Montreal. I would move them somewhere else because they've got a great organization with their fan base. They do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. They're probably the second best run organization in baseball. Mm-hmm. Well, they were before they got Friedman
and
Madden.
You're not a great organization when you have one guy that has ran it. That means he's great. Andrew Friedman is great.
Well,
Rays stunk before he got there, and they will stink now that he's up. The Cardinals have a great organization because year after year, no matter who's in control, no matter who's making the decisions, the results wind up the same. We'll see. What Tampa Bay?
Yeah,
has.
They still have a chance to be a great organization if this.
We need to take a break. But let me tell you a little bit about the Rays. The Rays are in a situation where one city has them, but the other city wants them.
Yeah.
The Rays are in Hillsboro, but Litchfield wants them. Hillsboro won't let them go to Litchfield. Mm-hmm. That's basically what it is. The city council over there voted to not allow them to look into Hillsborough County, ironically enough, Hillsborough County, where Tampa is. That's the problem.
Interesting.
They need a new stadium.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, 20 years ago today, a blonde from Los Angeles named Georgia Frontier was in St. Louis and signed the relocation contract to move the Rams to St. Louis.
And there you go.
And we need to take a break.
You know what the other odd, we'll get to the break in just a moment.
Okay.
Of course, 2015 is upon us.
Yes.
That's the year in Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
Do you know what happens in
the
2015
Cubs
and Back to the Future 2?
We'll let you know after we come back from the break. We don't want to spoil it, even though Tobin just did. That would have been a great segue.
The movie's from like the mid-80s, David. I think people are aware. But yeah,
maybe some people haven't seen it and they're, what happened? Well,
we're back in a moment. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. Tim Eyes along with David Jenkins and Tobin Ott.
What happened in Back to the Future 2, Tim?
Well, David, funny you should ask. the Cubs win the World Series in 2015 in Back to the Future 2.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? And then you see what the Cubs have done this offseason, making all these moves, hiring Joe Maddon.
I assume Anthony Rizzo had seen the movie, probably.
Probably so. That's probably why he said, what was his quote?
We're going to win the NL Central.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. They very well
good
might.
Good for him.
They very well might. I mean, you got to be confident. You know, that's the great thing about baseball. Every team goes to spring training thinking, we're going to win the World Series.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe this is the Cubs' year.
Because, you know, like I said, one year you could be in last place, and then the next year you could win the World Series.
The Cubs will win, in my opinion, the Cubs will win the World Series in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
I think so. I think Joe Maddon is the perfect guy for that situation because you know how it is. As soon as the Cubs get into the playoffs and get close and they lose a game, it's going to start.
Can you imagine?
All the negativity. But he's the type of guy, he did it with Tampa Bay. They were awful before he got there. He shows up, just his demeanor, the way he runs the operation, I don't know what it is about him, well, but plus, he just keeps it
he's
simple.
He's in a market now where they can afford to keep his players.
Right.
And I mean, and Tampa, you had a great player, and then the next year he was gone because he couldn't afford to keep him. Now, you can.
Can you imagine Wrigleyville if the Cubs actually win the World Series?
No. No.
I don't even know if I really want to be at Murphy's or the Cubs. You
thought Mrs. O'Leary's cow burned the town down.
Do you remember You remember back when Vancouver lost to Boston in the Stanley Cup Finals a few years ago, what the riots were like in Vancouver? It's going to be a lot worse than that.
Oh, sure. I mean, Chicago will come apart at the seams.
And Vancouver lost.
Right.
When Chicago wins, I mean, it's going to be bad. Right.
But, you know, if you're Anthony Rizzo, maybe don't make that quote before the season.
Yeah.
You know. Not that it really matters, but maybe not.
Well, David Wright made the same comment for the New York Mets. We're going to make the playoffs too, so but I can't see that happening.
No, no one believes that.
That one's more empty. I think that honestly, that one's more empty than
the division they're in. The division they're in is so weak, though, that if you know.
Yeah, but they're so bad. I mean, they're so bad.
I mean, look at how many games Washington won the division on. 17. They were 17 ahead of Atlanta.
Yeah, but gosh, they're just so bad. 17. I realize the Cubs weren't great last year, but man, the Mets are showing no signs of improvement.
Yeah, the Mets haven't done anything to improve their club. The Cubs have done all sorts of things. The Cubs have improved their club. They upgraded manager.
Mm-hmm.
They upgraded their starting rotation with Lester. Mm-hmm. And we saw the young position player prospects that they had last year. The question
and
will
they're
be,
still
though,
coming.
Are all these guys going to click right away? All these young guys, are they going to be able to come right up to the big leagues and just kind of take off like they're supposed to? Possible.
Yeah. That's not probably likely.
I say 2 to 3 years.
That's why they haven't really traded one of their middle infielders because they don't know who's going to pan out. Because they've got a logjam with Alcantara and Baez and Castro, which all of them can start right now at different positions. But eventually, one of those guys is probably going to get moved because they've also got some young middle infielders still coming up. So they want to see what they're going to get if Baez can hit consistently at the major league level or if they need to hang on to Castro. Because Castro is probably the guy that's going to be out.
Probably so.
You forgot one big important thing the Cubs added, new bleachers.
No. Yeah. I don't think they're done, though. I don't think the renovation is done.
They may have to rent the cell for a while for a couple home games.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Just play at Hiram B. Thorne Stadium at Puerto Rico. That place is available for rent.
Of course, the big news for the Cardinals this week was they signed Lance Lynn, avoiding arbitration. I think 3 years, $22 million is what the finals numbers wound up being for Lance Lynn. So he's locked up with the Cardinals, and everyone kind of still wondering and speculating. Will they get Max Scherzer?
Because the deal they signed with Lynn was very very team friendly, so it leaves a lot of money open to sign Max Scherzer. The thing I find interesting about signing Lynn was I believe they signed him through 2017. All their guys are signed through 2017, so what are you going to do then? Holiday's off the books.
Okay, he'll be busy.
Yeah.
A lot of contract talk.
Yeah, I think Wainwright's coming off the books that year as well. I think Molina as well. All of them are coming off the books in 2017.
Imagine the potential if the Cardinals do sign Scherzer. And that's a big if, but we're just having some fun.
Yeah.
Cardinals signed Scherzer. Cubs have already signed Lester. The Major League Baseball season begins. Cards, Cubs, at Wrigley Field, national television.
Is Scherzer starting that night?
Or do you still
go with Wainwright?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Matheny would probably go with Wainwright just because it's his guy. But, oh, my goodness, would that be awesome to see Mad Max against John Lester.
That'd be fantastic.
Cards, Cubs to start the year.
Be fantastic. And it would probably be, an 8-7 final score.
Well, of course, just like the playoff game last year with
Kershaw
and Wainwright. That would be 1-0. what, like 12-10?
Yeah,
or whatever
like that,
it wound
yeah.
up.
I think it was 10-9. Yeah, but yeah, that's exactly what it'd be. It'd be awesome if you had a Max Scherzer, John Lester opening night. But like you said, I think Matheny would probably go with Wainwright, which would set up well for, you know, Max Scherzer against Jake Arrieta in game two.
I just want to see it one time in my life, Cards, Cubs, NLCS.
Oh,
it's
my
never
word.
Happened. Just yeah. want to see it.
Oh, my
It
word.
Wouldn't be a friendly rivalry anymore.
No.
Can you imagine the intensity?
It would be great, but it would be terrible if, for whatever reason, the Cardinals ended up losing that series. It'd be unbearable.
But you know what? In some ways, for the Cubs to win when the Cubs win the World Series, to me, they should have to go through the Cardinals and the Yankees.
Yeah.
To me. That's what I think. I think that's probably how it will happen. It just seems to work out that way in sports sometimes. You know, that when they win, they're going to go through the best team in the National League and the best team in the American League historically to get it done.
But would it be worse than the Blues-Blackhawks in the playoffs, though?
Well, we've seen that before.
Hmm.
We've seen Blues-Blackhawks
before. Last
year
kind
of renewed
that.
We've never seen Cards-Cubs.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. They have never played each other in postseason.
Never have. It's never happened.
It'd be like Staunton Gillespie in the playoffs.
It'd be worse than that. It'd be a lot worse than that.
Or Hillsborough-Litchfield in the playoffs.
It would be intense.
Ooh.
It would be intense. So we'll see, but yeah. Anthony Rizzo says the Cubs are going to win the Central, and hey, according to Back to the Future 2, they're going to win a lot more than
Nike was also supposed to come out with laceless shoes, which now they came out and said, by the way, 2015, we are coming out with those shoes. And Jaws 12 was supposed to come out.
Jaws 12.
Just remember that.
Nice.
In 3D.
Pretty ambitious for that franchise. Oh, my.
We're back in a moment on Sports Saturday.
And at 9:49, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and David Jenkins.
Tobinon, thank you so much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, our live tournament coverage from Litchfield at 2:30 this afternoon. Our live coverage from the Macoupin County Tournament at 6 o'clock tonight here on WSMI FM 106. And then for our broadcast schedule next week from Litchfield and the Macoupin County Tournament, go to WSMIRadio.com. We can't tell you, most of the games from the county will be on 105.3 The Ox next week. Most of the games from Litchfield will be here on WSMI FM 106.
This is the first time we've had both tournaments on simultaneously, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah. Also, we do have Illini basketball on tomorrow.
Yeah, they will be playing Indiana. What time is that?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock pregame, so they will tip at noon. Illinois and Indiana, the only meeting of the year for the Illini and the Hoosiers, which is ridiculous.
I think they've got to win that one, Illini. Because you're coming off a win against Northwestern. You've got your second big I think the next five, you really have to win. Because the next five are against like some combination of Indiana, Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota. And I don't remember who the next five or the fifth one is.
Penn State got some news this week.
Yeah, they did.
On the football field, yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah. But from the Illini basketball perspective, though, I don't know if they're all must wins, but
they're very winnable games for the Illini.
They're winnable games. At this point, they need to win their home games.
Yeah.
You know, take care of business on your home floor.
Four of those five are at home.
Well, then winnable.
Yeah.
Must wins.
So, They're not out of tournament talk by any means, but I mean it would be great because they would all of a sudden, let's see, they're 2-3 in the conference now. If they won all five, they'd be 7-3 in the conference, and you'd be looking at what they'd got 12 wins overall. They'd be 17-6, I think.
Would have a little different feel too.
Yeah, a lot. All of a sudden, you know, you're a lock for the tournament.
I mean, when you get
into
conference play, especially these super conferences with you know these big leagues now, where basically they have you know 12-16 teams. It can change in a week.
Yeah.
You know, you can go from the top of the conference to the middle of the pack in just a couple of games. So Illinois just needs to focus on playing good basketball here for a prolonged stretch of time.
Purdue is the other team that they play in this five-game stretch.
Yeah, that's always a tough game.
Yeah. But I think that one's at home. The only one that's on the road is at Minnesota in the next five.
That's always a tough one, too.
Yeah. So
at the barn.
But Minnesota, I don't think, has won a game in the Big Ten Conference. I think they're winless.
Little Ricky Pitino having a bit of a tough time?
Tough time.
He didn't get to take any of his dad's recruits with him to Minnesota?
Apparently not. Huh. Can't do that.
That's too bad.
Can't do that.
Hey, they had a good coach in Toby Smith over there.
Yeah, Minnesota. that was kind of a questionable fire by them because he was really turning that program around. And I mean, especially with the way his tenure there ended because, you know, they didn't think they would make the NCAA tournament. They ended up either winning the Big Ten tournament or, you know, finishing second, getting to the tournament, and then winning a tournament game. And then, you know, see ya. We want more.
Odd.
Really?
Odd.
Sorry, once the decision's made, it's been made.
Yeah.
You got to be careful, you know, when you start firing coaches based on, well, we didn't go deep enough in the postseason. Well, yeah. Getting to the postseason is harder.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we'll see. Postseason for high school is quickly approaching as girls' regionals will be coming our way, what, in about a month? Maybe a little less. So
probably,
before we know it. Let's run down the tournament schedule for today. Basically, every team in the Lissington area involved in a tournament somewhere today. At the Litchfield Invitational Tournament, four games scheduled in the pool play. They will all be in Simmons today at 2:30. Litchfield takes on Lebanon. That game will be live right here on FM 106. At 4 o'clock, Taylorville, the 2-seed, takes on Wood River, the 10-seed. At 5:30, top-seeded Greenville will take on 9th-seeded Pena. And then at 7 o'clock in the nightcap, it'll be 3rd-seeded Civic Memorial taking on 6th-seeded Hillsboro. We'll have that broadcast at about 9 o'clock tonight on WQSMI FM 106.
And those middle two games at Litchfield, you can, if you're not at the game because we won't have them on the radio, you can just follow us on Twitter and I'll be updating them from the site.
There you go. At the Macoupin County Tournament today at Gillespie, girls' pool play will get it started at noon with 2nd-seeded Carthenville taking on 7th-seeded North Mac. At 1:30 in girls' pool play, 3rd-seeded Mount Olive will take on 6th-seeded Staunton. And then at 3 o'clock, top-seeded Southwestern will take on 5th-seeded Gillespie to round out day one of girls' pool play. And then at 4:30, boys' pool play begins with the host Miners taking on the 7th-seeded Mount Olive Wildcats. And then at 6 o'clock, our live coverage picks up from the county with 3rd-seeded Staunton taking on 6th-seeded Bunker Hill. And then at 7:30, top-seeded Southwestern will take on 5th-seeded North Mac. That game will also be live on WQSMI FM 106. Other tournaments around the area today. Over in North Green, Litchfield playing for the championship there. That will be a 3:30 tip for the Purple Panthers. At Highland today, the Highland Invitational, T. Toad always calls it kind of the mini state tournament over there at Highland, another strong field at 10 o'clock. So coming up in 5 minutes, Breeze Central takes on Carlisle. The Toppers will tip at 11:30. Hillsboro will take on T-Town today. At 1 o'clock, Breeze Modern Day will take on West Glen. At 2:30, Salem and O'Fallon. At 4 o'clock, Nashville will battle Triad. At 5:30, Nokomis will take on Belleville West. At 7 o'clock, Taylorville takes on Altoff. And then at 8:30, it's Highland taking on Oakville. And you know, we mentioned, Dave, when we were talking to Drew Logan about the Invitational at Litchfield, rare to see a tournament where you get 1A, 2A, 3A teams. That's a boys' tournament, of course. The Highland Girls Tournament would fall into that class as you see 1A Nokomis taking on Belleville West.
Yeah, that's a heck of a matchup right there.
It's a slight size discrepancy in the rules.
Yeah, I will say this. The Toppers, they are playing very well right now. They are firing in all cylinders right now, the girls team. So
they usually, under Teak, find their stride at the right time of the year. Also today, the Sangamon County Boys Championship at Lincoln Land at 7 o'clock tonight has Rochester taking on Auburn. The Winchester Tournament also going on today as well. Carrollton will play for the championship there. Fun week.
Yeah, great week. Gotta love this time of year. You love the holiday tournaments, but mid-January also has great tournaments going on this time of year. So
the Macoupin County Tournament, of course, at Gillespie this year. It was supposed to be at Gillespie last year, but the pit wasn't ready. So Bunker Hill moved up a year and hosted last year, and now Gillespie is hosting this year. And we've talked about it before. Worked out pretty good for the Gillespie boys, though, I would say, because they are in a much better position this year to win the title than they were last year. Now they get it on their home floor. Of course, Southwestern, odds-on favorite, probably boys and girls, to win the county.
But the Southwestern boys haven't been playing their best basketball of late.
They've hit a bit of a rough patch, and the season's so long.
Yeah.
You know, it's so hard to sustain elite levels of play. And for Southwestern, probably not the worst thing.
No.
You know, you have a little downtime, get your stride back moving in to the postseason, but it's going to be a heck of a week for the county teams involved over there at Gillespie.
And where do we go for the county next year? Do you know?
I don't know, David. 1 year at a time.
Oh, okay.
It goes in order of district number. So whatever district is after, well, Bunker Hill's after. I think it'll be Southwestern.
Okay.
I think.
Darren Deneve would know.
Darren knows everything.
Yeah.
He knows all.
Here comes a text.
Oh. We'll see.
That's right. Of course, you can always keep up to date with our broadcast schedule, podcast, live streams at WSMIRadio.com. And as David mentioned, you can follow us on Twitter as well at WSMI Sports.
Our friend Dave Kane will be bouncing between tournaments as well today.
Busy man.
Yeah, he's going to be headed to the county at Gillespie and to Litchfield.
There's a lot of good basketball around the area. So whether you're going to the Litchfield Invitational, to the Macoupin County Tournament in Gillespie, maybe you're going to Sangamon County and watching the championship game. Maybe you're trekking over to Highland. Basketball galore for you across Illinois today. And we'll have all sorts of action here on WQSMI FM 106 beginning at 2:30 with Litchfield and Lebanon. And then off to the MAC County Tournament for Staunton and Bunker Hill, then Southwestern and North MAC. Those games will be live. And then at 9 o'clock, it'll be Hillsboro and CM. That broadcast for you at 9 on FM 106. And all the action will stream online at WQSMIRadio.com. We're out of time. We have used it all up. We've allotted all of the time.
You still got a minute and a half.
A minute and a half?
Yeah. What are we going to talk about in a minute and a half?
Oh, man. That's not good clock management.
Uh-oh. We don't have news at the top of the hour anymore, Tobin.
That's true, too.
Should we discuss the football situation in St. Louis for a minute and a half? Well, now it's not a minute and a half. But
60 seconds on the clock? Go.
No, okay. We should not. We could mention, though, I think the college football playoff was a success.
Oh, yeah.
I think it worked.
Great. It was fantastic.
Needs to be expanded.
It does. It will be. It'll be to 8 shortly. Apparently, the championship game was the highest rated cable event ever.
Seriously?
Ever.
Ever?
Yeah, ever.
Ever, ever?
Ever, ever. In the history of cable television.
All those naysayers thought it was a bad idea.
I don't know how you could think that was a bad idea.
It was fantastic. Great.
It made the regular season better.
Yeah. And hey, Ohio State, they tore down the goalposts and set fires in Columbus. So, hey, all is well.
How about that?
It's great, especially for a Big Ten fan.
And, you know, I guess the old saying, if you have two quarterbacks, you really have none, that no longer applies.
No.
Ohio State just won the national championship with their third string quarterback.
And all of them are coming back next year, too, or could come back next year.
It's a bit of a logjam.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Jam.
Lots of high school basketball on the docket today. Get out and enjoy high school hoops around Central Illinois. For Tobinot, David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.